Third quarter here on Inside the Huddle. Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington. For the third quarter, we've got head coach Blake Betzner on the line from the Carroll Cougars. Coach, how you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty well. Coach, a great win last night at Clinton Central. Your team came out strong. They played really, really well in that first half and kind of put it away from there, and you were able to get the young guys some playing time in half number two. What was the message to the team before the game and that got them so fired up for that game?
Well, I just think that playing against Clinton Central the last couple of years, the kids just thought they could just go in and play and, have some success. But we knew going into this game that it was going to be a battle. They're much improved from years in the past. So they've done a lot of really good things on film that we showed the kids. And when we knew they could hurt us, they could hurt our defense. And we knew we had some trouble moving the ball against them if we didn't do things right. So we pounded it really hard this week of we got to get better every single week. And if we do, we're going to be okay. But if we stay stagnant for a couple weeks, we're going to have trouble moving forward. So that was the big key this week. Just keep getting better. Don't take anybody for granted and get after everybody that takes the field against you.
And the last couple games that we've done for you guys on Hoosierland TV, the Delphi game, Aiden Wiles was the player of the game, and when we came down to take a picture with him, he invited the entire offensive line to get in that player of the game picture. And last night we gave it to Emery Deaton, and he did the exact same thing. He wanted his offensive line in that picture. Talk about how well the offensive line played last night, because there were some times where the running back didn't get touched for 10 or 12 yards before he got downfield.
I've only been a head coach for 4 years, it'll be my fourth year, but I've never lost a game when our front guys were better than their front guys. Skills, really nice to have. It's really nice to have those guys that can run up the middle and get around the edges and do some really nice things. But if you don't have those front five, six guys that can block, it doesn't matter. And same defensive line. We hit that hard. We want our best players. If you're a fullback guard, those guards are so important to us. Because if we can't block people, it doesn't matter what you do. So we put a huge emphasis on that. Our offensive line is, as decorated as they can possibly be in football, because you don't know those guys' names unless they do something wrong. But those are the guys we put so much stress and understanding to them that if you don't win the line of scrimmage, we will not win the game. And they've really started to figure that out towards this part of the year. Early in the year, Riverton Park was physical, and we had trouble winning the line of scrimmage. Eastern and Delphi. There was times we didn't win the line of scrimmage, and it was a battle. So I think they've got understood now that if we don't win that and win it by a lot, it's a tough game. So we were very thankful to win that last night, and it made things a little bit easier for us.
And, Coach, they seem to have a real great camaraderie with each other. They immediately wanted to get in the picture. I apologize for whoever that 40-year-old guy was in there. I don't know how they even asked that guy to get in there. I apologize for that ugly guy in there. But we talked last week about how you kind of challenged the team to kind of find the joy in not just winning, but just the joy in the little things. And that was one thing we mentioned on the broadcast last night. And just from my vantage point, it seemed like the body language was so much better in comparison with what we'd seen in the past. Did they answer the call? Do we still have places to go? How would you describe the finding the joy, so to speak?
No, absolutely. I'll probably go back to a time where our turning point this year was the Tri-Central game of just and kids just react differently to different situations. It's pouring down rain. Everybody in the stands miserable. Coaches are miserable, but the players just love it. And they played just that way. They loved being there, and it was fun for them. And they could block out everything and just go have fun. And they carried that on to this week. And when we talk about it in the game, it was just seeing them, celebrating and jumping on each other. Just the stuff that high school football kids should do. That's why you do it. When you score a touchdown, enjoy it, and celebrate with your friends. And so, yeah, I think you hit it on the head there. They've really changed the last 2 weeks, and they're getting to the point where, and this is a big one, we hit Emery Deaton hard all week. He's probably the best athlete in the school, pound for pound, the strongest athlete in the school, and his production wasn't where we thought it'd be. you know, at this point of the year. And we were on him. Hey, you're way better. I mean, you've had a nice year, but you're way better than what you've been playing. And it wasn't because of effort or anything like that. It was just a mindset. You know, he's a junior, didn't play a lot as a sophomore. So, you know, just being able to take that next step. And, man, just like you guys said, he took it last night. And if him and Wiles and Mullins and Luke Tanner had his best game of the year, in my opinion, he was calm. He called a timeout when, you know, just when you have a senior quarterback, sometimes they just do things. You're like, oh, okay, that's why he's been doing it for 3 years. He did so many things like that last night. Changed the play twice, the line of scrimmage. You know, it's in, you know, the offense is in good hands when he's up there. So, Cason Fellows, he should have 3 touchdowns last night. You know, we snapped it late, and he was going to run a 9, and he'd already beat the kid. He got one called back, and then he scored one. And that's what I love about Cason Fellows. You know, 2 years ago, Cason Fellows had been pouting after this game. He would have been pouting like, hey, I should have 3 touchdowns. You know, the man he's turned into, and he was the happiest kid after the game, you know, celebrating with the guys. And they just, that's when you know things are turning, when no one cares about individual stats, individualism at all, and they just want the team to be successful. And that's what this group's doing right now, and it's really fun to watch.
And you talked about the play of Luke Tanner. He made one of the best fakes that I've seen in a long time on one of those first touchdowns to Emery Deaton. I saw the fake handoff to Wiles, but I still thought that Luke Tanner had the ball, and I got the bird's eye view up in the press box, and then I looked down, and Emery Deaton's running down the sideline untouched. It fooled everybody, including the defense. What a play call.
Yeah, we call it counter crisscross, and so he actually does hand it to Aiden Wiles, and then Aiden Wiles hands it to Emery Deaton.
Yeah, so it fooled everybody.
Yeah, and it fooled our own. So if you watch our guys, they weren't even blocking anymore because they thought they had been tackled, or we got a couple guys through it. I think them getting through so fast really made it look weird because it looked like they tackled everybody they needed to. But it was a pretty cool play. You know, you look out and you're like, because I saw it right when it happened. I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good. And then somehow he got the handoff to Emery, and yeah, I think Emery about walked in. And yeah, it was a weird play. It was a really weird play.
It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, but I want to say I think we got it on film. So anybody who's watching the game back, you know, feel free to let us know whether we got that or not. And if we didn't, I sincerely apologize. My right eye was going one way and my left eye was going another way. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a neat play.
But one thing that I noticed is, number one, your quarterback almost looked like Peyton Manning when he called a timeout, just kind of not out of frustration, but almost like he saw something that he didn't like and he walked off to the sidelines. But he has been doing a great job of running the offense as far as passing the ball. And he had some pretty amazing throws and some great catches last night. Kind of talk about those, because that's one way that you were talking about early in the season about really improving.
Yeah, he knows where to put the ball to the guys, and he's starting to put them in really good positions. If they don't catch them, no one's catching them. And that's, you know, that's what you hit home as a high school coach. Like, hey, give your guy a chance, and then if he doesn't have a chance, throw it out of bounds, and we'll run the ball again. So, you know, that pass to Fellows, it was a great pass. But then Fellows just going up and getting it. You can't teach that. I mean, no matter how many times you run, you know, it's what we call the skinny seven. No many times you run that skinny seven, if you don't have that kid out there making that play, there's not many kids in high school who are going to make that play. He just went up and grabbed it and came down with it like it was nothing, and it's like, oh, geez. You know, he makes really hard plays look easy. And then he had one over-the-shoulder catch in the end zone that the guy brought back. Just another phenomenal throw. And him getting underneath it and be able to turn his head both ways, he's just very, very skilled, Fellows is. And then Luke is just learning how to put the ball right on him. They have a great chemistry. And you play man-to-man defense against him, and it's a, you know, you're taking your chances because he's going to get open and Luke can get it to him. So, yeah, those two have become a pretty powerful pair.
Well, that game last night, your last road game of the regular season, you get a couple of games at home, one against Clinton Prairie next week and then against Sheridan to wrap the season up. Just a quick initial thoughts on Clinton Prairie. That will be our game of the week next week. Yep. Hoosierland TV will be over broadcasting that game. So just your initial thoughts. Clinton Prairie had a really good showing last night against Taylor, yep, who just beat Sheridan last week. So what did you see from that game?
Yeah, I mean, we know who Prairie is. I mean, we've played them, seems like, a lot. My first year we played them twice, and then it's been a battle every year. They're very similar to us in a lot of ways. Run similar offenses, usually have similar type kids. And Prairie's always a team that, you know, gives us a lot of fits. And it's weird because when I came over here, that was definitely the rivalry. The one, you know, it wasn't as much Delphi at that point than Prairie. So for some reason, those kids have a healthy rivalry against each other that they don't mind beating each other. So they're excited for the game. They're excited to play Prairie. So we get to finally be home. We feel like we've been on the road the entire year. So we finally get two home games here to end it out with. So we're excited to just be at home. And but yes, Clinton Prairie's who they are. They're going to be good. They're going to be well coached. They're going to be physical. We got to be in our spots, make good decisions defensively, and be able to run the ball against them. And then Sheridan, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, every year they just figure out ways to win. And I watched part of that because all their games are on TV. So when I was watching Prairie on my iPad, I just had that on the big screen in the back and just had it running, you know, Delphi and Sheridan game. And yeah, I mean, I know how good Delphi is. So that was a great game. If you didn't get a chance to watch that, go ahead and go on Bragg Media because that was 21-7, but man, that was a great football game between Sheridan and Delphi. So yeah, both those schools can beat you at any time. So you better be ready. You better be prepared to play.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on another Inside the Huddle, Coach. Good luck next week.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Fourth quarter Inside the Huddle coming up right after this, so stay tuned. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was gonna do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number four, and we have the Rossville boys tennis coach Ryan Skinner here joining us. Coach, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So, Coach, I just wanted to get a tennis coach on here and talk about the season. We're entering a sectional play was this week, and they got regionals coming up. Your team unfortunately lost in sectionals 4-1, but you guys had an outstanding season and a great win by your three singles player in that sectional matchup as well.
Yeah, I had a great year this year. You know, last year we were really young, and we kind of flip-flop seasons. You know, we only won 4 or 5 games, and then we went 9-6 this year, and two of those ending getting canceled last week. But it was amazing to see how well these kids start to learn the mental part of tennis. And I was just really proud of them, the way they played. And it was a great season overall. Sectionals was rough. We drew West Side in the Tuesday match, and we lost 4-1. But we had three matches that went in a third set. So I'm just really happy for the boys. They gave them their best shot. They fought, and so I was really proud of them.
Talk about your lineup this year and how you guys played. We can go back to the beginning of the season and kind of just recap the season as a whole.
Yeah, so one singles, we had a senior, Roman St. Meyer. He went 10-9, but what a great kid. He's a great leader on the team, gets the guys ready to go, and he had a great season. You know, it's hard being number one because you're getting their best every time, you know, the other teams. So he was a great player, improved a lot in his game. You know, he's always got a great smile and fights hard every point. And so really proud of him and the way he led our team this year. Two singles, we had Zach Wainscott. He went 11-7. A great improvement this year. When that kid has confidence, he's hard to beat. And he gets on a roll, great forehand, starting to be more aggressive at the net and his approach shots and being able to finish points. And so when he's on, he's really hard to beat. And so he did a great job for us at two singles. Three singles, Brody Skinner, and exceptional season this year, 14-3. A lot of times matches come down to three singles, you know, and so with him being 14-3 helped us a lot in our season record, and you know just all around his game just improved tremendously. His serve, volleys, approach shots. Coming to the net, putting pressure on the opponent, on making a lob or a difficult shot across him. And so I'm really proud of him and the way he played this year. One doubles had Ashton Abbott and Ryan Clendenin, more juniors. So six juniors on the team.
That's awesome.
Really young last year. None of them had their driver's license last year. I could probably say I was the youngest team in the state last year, but Ashton and Ryan doubles chemistry's there. You know, they really pumped each other up and they worked on their serves a lot and returns, and you could tell you know, doubles is a totally different game than singles.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're just really fun to watch. They lost a couple tough ones in third sets. But I'm really proud of them and the way they played this year, improving their games also. And then the last two doubles with two more juniors, Eli Barnes and Levi Darnell. They're just go-getters, really talented, and they build off each other really well too. Levi being tall at the net, doing a lot of volleys and finishing shots. Eli setting them up and trying to keep the game simple. I kept telling him, you know, keep the game simple, you know, keep it cross court, and be aggressive at the net. Anything you can get to, you know, try to think of where you want to place the ball, setting up the next shot. And they did a great job. Their record was 12-7 this year also. So they had a great year all around.
And one thing you mentioned was the chemistry between your doubles teams. And that's so important because doubles is, like you said, just a different game than singles. Singles, you got to keep the ball deep. You got to hit it a little harder. Whereas doubles, it's all about where you're placing it. Because, again, there's two guys on the court and they can cover a lot more space. And so it's all about the angles and keeping it away from that poacher at the net. And so talk about the chemistry between your doubles teams.
Yeah, so, you know, we just try to work on it every day in practice. What, you know, different shots. Like all sports, a game of angles, right? And so knowing where communication is really important too in doubles. And so they did a lot better in that, telling him, you know, if there's two up coming or just one up and where he was at, and just helping him out. That takes a lot of pressure and stress off the next shot, right? So just very proud of the way they work together. Confidence, you know, mental game of all sports also. Once you start seeing those first serves going in, or getting easy points at the net, it makes the match or the game that much easier. So they did a great job.
And coming back next year, you had two players get all conference at the conference meet. I believe Wainscott got it for number two, and then Brody Skinner got it for number three. What's the uh, what what's the limit for next year? What's the goal? Are we trying to just keep getting better every single day? Are we trying to improve more individual skills? Is there going to be a lineup shuffle? Kind of talk about what we're looking at, because you got six juniors on the varsity now, and all things said, they're coming back too.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Hopefully they come back hungry and full of confidence, knowing that they can play some really good tennis. We had four of the five make it to the championship in conference play, and two of them won. Yeah, Zach Wainscott won at two singles, and Brody won at three singles. Romans, I believe, went into a third set, and two doubles went to a third set. So we were right there of almost winning four of the five. So I'm very excited. I know it's going to be a long time away, but time always goes fast. So hopefully they can, you know, get out on the courts every now and then and work on their game. Individually, I think confidence-wise and mentally, they're there. Hopefully they can build a little more on the strategy part, you know, setting up their next shot, knowing their strengths, and having confidence in their teammates in the doubles, and just doing their best.
And a lot of them that you mentioned, they're all two and three sport athletes as well. How much have you done to encourage the guys to not only work on their game, but to also, if they have other interests in sports, to make sure that they're getting in the gym and just working on their bodies and everything?
Right, for sure. You know, you think of tennis, you don't really think of endurance, but it is. It's a lot of work going back and forth. In singles, definitely going that third set. Sometimes the one that's most fit is going to win that third set. And you get drained mentally. You start falling apart. Some more unforced errors, and you'll probably end up winning that third set. So it's very important. Like I said, most of the team I think is in weights right now after school and trying to build strength, and conditioning is a big part of it. So. I'd like to focus a little bit more on that. Make sure we don't lose those third sets next year, and those ones that we've lost 3-2 last year or this year, we can change those to 3-2 our favor next year.
And on the mental aspect of tennis, it almost seems like you second guess yourself a lot. What do you do as a coach to kind of get them to relax a little bit, or to kind of take their minds off of what they're stressing about in many cases?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, we in between odd games, you can go talk to the players, and you know, I try to be there for them. I tell them their strengths. I tell them take a deep breath, relax, and focus on what got you here. You know, like what won you the last game, or you know, what's your strengths right now? What's working well, or what's their weakness right now? Trying to identify weaknesses of the opponents also, and so that way they can restructure their thinking and get back on track. And go out there and maybe turn it around.
Absolutely. And let's kind of wrap up by talking about next season and the struggle it is to sometimes to get kids to come out for tennis. Obviously, it's football season, and Rossville doesn't have a football team, but they've got plenty of other sports. I know that was always the struggle at our school, was getting kids to come out for tennis. So what's your strategy to kind of recruit some players?
Yeah, we had one. We have one. My other son, Caden Skinner, was one JV singles, and Roman's brother, Lincoln St. Meyer, and Drew Wainscott, brothers. So of the other players came out that did really well this year in JV also. I hope they see that. You know, a lot of people drive by those courts when we're playing. You know, and hopefully. My players can kind of talk some kids into coming out, and like in sports, you know, this is going to help all sports really. You
absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
Endurance and hand-eye coordination. You got your baseball, you know, you got your endurance, physical for basketball, and so I hope we have some more freshmen come out next year. This was a long time ago. It seemed like not very long ago. All these guys were freshmen coming in. You know, six freshmen. And I had six seniors that year also, so I was heavy at both ends. And it's just been great watching them grow, and lots of fun watching them play tennis and improving their game this year.
Well, we want to thank you for coming in and talking some Rossville tennis. We appreciate you coming in, and always appreciate getting some other sports on here. We love to talk about football, but we love to talk about other sports as well.
Uh-huh, for sure. Thank you very much.
That's Ryan Skinner, the head coach of the Rossville boys tennis team. It does it for another edition of Inside the Huddle. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirtz. Thanks for tuning in. This Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Winske Brothers.